So, if you haven't been here this week, I'm going to give you a taste of what it was like. And I'm glad I got my notebook, because I wrote many things here. And I'm going to share some of these things with you. But I have a question before I start. Do you like exploring? Yes, because I do. Like going to different places and seeing different things and this amazement when you see something new. I like that. And this week we saw something like that. And on Monday, we went to a place called the Breathtaking Bay. The Breathtaking Bay. So we discovered there that Jesus is God's son. And he's king over everything. Jesus is God's son, and he's king over everything. And how do we know that? Because we can look at Mark chapter 1. Let me see if I can turn this on. Yeah, Mark chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. It was written there since the beginning of Mark's gospel. So, what would be for you if someone came to your workplace or to your classroom, knocked at the door, and said, hey, Ryan, follow me. Hey, Shay, follow me. Just leave this place. Let's go. Glenn, just leave your computer there and follow me. Leave everything. If you don't like your workplace or if you don't like the subject, you would be amazed. And you say, oh, of course, I'm going to follow you. But what if this person is calling you to follow, but to leave everything behind? Everything that you like, everything that you love, you need to leave everything behind. Your family, your video game, your dolls, and your friends, everything behind. How would you feel about it? This week, on Monday, we saw that Jesus, he invited some fishermen to follow him. So we saw Peter, Andrew, John, and James. They were there. They were fishing. They were there getting their daily thing to survive. And then Jesus came. They heard about Jesus. They heard what Jesus was doing. And then when Jesus came to them and he said, hey, follow me. You know what they did? They left everything behind. Everything. Their boats, their nets, fish, their families. They left everything to follow Jesus. And why that? Why do you think they left everything to follow Jesus? Because they saw that Jesus had authority. They saw that Jesus had power. They saw that Jesus was different. So they decided to follow Jesus. Do you think your words have power? What do you think? Like when you get home and you see there is a big mess. Yesterday I was with my kids there and there were toys everywhere. And I told them, tidy up. They are just 2 years old, but that's fine. So I said, you need to tidy this room up. I went to the kitchen and I hoped that when I came back, the room would be tidied, but it wasn't. So my words had no power. Or when you say, be quiet, no authority at that stage. Or when you say, be quiet, do you expect people to be quiet? Sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't. Or when you say, give me that chocolate, or give me that toy, maybe you'll get it, but maybe you won't. Our words, they don't have the power we wanted them to have. But Jesus' words, yes, they had power. When Jesus spoke, evil spirits, they fled. Bad spirits, they fled. Jesus spoke, and people were healed. Jesus spoke, and people were amazed. So, on our first day at Breathtaking Bay, we saw a glimpse of a land, a kingdom, where there will be no suffering, no pain, no fear, and no death. A place where Jesus will reign. He will reign as a king forever. So, So far, we've seen the first day of the week. We were at breathtaking bay. We just arrived there. And now we're going to go through the other 4 days of the week. But I have to say, it's going to be quicker, okay? So we don't have to worry. And because the first day, we saw who was Jesus. And now we're going to see why did Jesus come. On Tuesday, we navigated our way to the Discovery Dance. It's up there on our second day, where Jesus amazed people as he revealed why he had come. In Mark 2:5, he said, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. People gathered around Jesus. They wanted to see what he was doing. And he was doing, I have to say, he was doing amazing things. And there was one day, he went into a house, and then he was speaking. Because people don't just come to see him healing people, but they came to hear as he spoke. And he was teaching there. But there was a man, a paralyzed man. He heard that Jesus was in town. And he wanted to get closer to him. And it's good to have friends. Do you have friends? Yeah, I have some friends. And it's good to have friends. And his friends thought, okay, our friend, he can't go there by himself. However, we can bring him. So they brought the man in. And they got very close to the house. But the house was packed. Everyone was there. It was like a big gig in town where everyone goes. And everyone was there. And they were like, okay, what shall we do? They went up. And through the roof, they just dug a hole. They just managed to put a mat, and they lowered him in a way that he got to see Jesus. And you know what Jesus did when he saw the man? He said, your sins are forgiven. That's very odd. People were just thinking, what's he thinking? Like, your sins are forgiven. Who is this man to forgive sins? Because sin is what we do that separates us from God, the bad things that we do. And who was Jesus to do that? Maybe the man, the paralyzed man, he thought, my problem is my legs, not my sins. My legs need fixing, not my sins. But we discovered this week, on Tuesday, that our biggest problem is our sin. Things that we do, things that we say, and that we think that don't please God. This is our biggest problem. So the problem that man had on his legs, it was not a problem at all. But we see here that the religious leaders, that they were there, when they saw that Jesus was forgiving sins, they were like, who is this man? The only one that can forgive sin is God himself. But remember what we saw from Mark chapter 1, verse 1. Jesus is, can I hear that? Jesus is the Son of, Jesus is the Son of God. He is God himself. So yes, he could forgive sins, and he did. And you know what he did after that? He healed the man after forgiving him his sins. So the biggest problem that that man had was his sin, and then the problem with his legs. But by doing that, by healing the man, everyone that was inside the house saw Jesus' power and his authority. That was Tuesday. On Wednesday, we went to a mysterious place called Mysterious Mountains. We saw that Jesus' word and actions had power. But listen to something really, really surprising that happened here in Mark 15, 33, 34, and 37. Verse 33. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And there, in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. Jesus' followers, they must have felt very, very surprised. They saw Jesus' power. They saw his authority. But now they are seeing Jesus saying that he would have to be beaten, mocked, hung on a cross, exactly like a criminal. And they saw it happening. Jesus was beaten, he was mocked, hung on a cross, and he died. And here's a question. Why was Jesus God forsaken? Why had God turned away from Jesus, his son? I wouldn't do that. But God did. And why did he do that? Because Jesus was doing a swap with you and me. We were supposed to be God forsaken because of our sins. Remember, sin is what separates us from God. We deserved to be punished because of our sin. Sin, if you find it hard to remember what sin means, it's S-I-N. So, shove God, I'm in charge, not you. Can we do that? Shove God, I'm in charge, not you. Once more. Shove God, I'm in charge, not you. That's sin. When you think that you are the one in charge. Jesus, he had never sinned. He was an innocent man. He was perfect. But he took our punishment. Our sin was a barrier between us and God. And Jesus made it possible for us to get reconnected with God. And that's why Jesus cried out in anguish. It was like a judge going to prison instead of the criminal. He took our place. Jesus paid the price so we can be forgiven God's friend. We can be forgiven friends of God. Jesus, he acted out of love. He loved us. And he loved us so, so much that he gave his life for us, for you and me, for our sins. He gave his life. And he gave us a present. Yes, he gave us a present. That's Jesus himself. That's forgiveness, forgiven of our sins. That was a present. And it is free. It is free. You don't have to pay for it. And it is amazing. So, that's what we saw on Wednesday. Then we went to a place called the Crown Cave. The Crown Cave on Thursday. We've seen that Jesus died to forgive sins, but death wasn't the end for Jesus. If people die today, that's the end. But for Jesus, it wasn't the end. That wasn't the end of the story. He was placed inside a tomb. And after 3 days, some people came to bring some things to see, like just to pray or I don't know. But he wasn't there. The tomb was open. They checked inside. Nobody. Exactly as he said, after 3 days, he rose again. Not even death could hold Jesus. He beaten death, and he was alive, just as he promised. And because the price he paid for our sin has been accepted by God, we don't need to be separated from God anymore. So Jesus paid the price, and we just thank him for that. But that's not the end of the story. Not yet. On our last day, we got to a place called the Rocky Road. The Rocky Road, yes. And the Bible says that one day, Jesus will return. But he will return as a king. As a king wearing his crown. And how do we know that? Because the Bible says, in Mark 8, 31, we see that he then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. And it happened exactly as he said. Jesus said that he would be killed, and he was. In Mark 8:38, we see that people today are so sinful. They have not been faithful to God as you live among them. Don't be ashamed of me and my teaching if that happens. I will be ashamed of you when I come with glory of my Father and the holy angels. He said that he would come again, and he will come back. We need to trust that. We need to trust his words because they are true. And we should be ready for the day Jesus will come back. But how can we be ready? So what do you bring when you go to an adventure? If you are going, if you need to go camping. Rafael, what do you bring if you're going camping? A camping bag, yes. What else? What should you bring? Water bottle, yes? What else? Can you help me, guys? A tent, yes, yes, not maybe stronger than the ones we had outside, but yes. Aina, what can you bring? What do you bring to a camp?
A hotel.
A hotel, oh, he likes the luxury. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. So, yes, we bring many different things. We need to get ready. But how do we get ready as we wait for Jesus to come back? Here's a passage, Mark 1:15. It says, "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Repent and believe the message about Jesus Christ. Repent and believe that Jesus is the Lord and Savior. Repenting, what does it mean? Repenting means admitting we have done wrong, that we have disobeyed and ignored God. We are sorry, and now we want to live God's way with God in charge, not us. Believing means we trust that Jesus is God's Son and that he died in our place. That's exactly what you see here. We just need to repent and believe. I wonder, will you repent and believe? Will you accept this gift of rescue? You don't need to pay for that. Will you follow Jesus? If you don't follow Jesus yet, will you? We finished our expedition with this verse from Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." If you've been following Jesus for a while, years, months, or decades, I don't know, you know that life is not always easy. Sometimes life is tough. Things are hard. It's not because you became a follower of Jesus that everything will be easier. No, things become harder. But deciding to follow Jesus is worth it. Because our reward doesn't come today. We have something waiting for us in the future. A reward called eternal life. When we will be able to spend eternity with Jesus. So, how do we get that? You just need to repent and believe and follow Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you have done for us. And we thank you for giving us Jesus Christ. And we thank you for revealing your word to us. And we can now see and learn that he is our Lord and Savior, that he is your Son, and that he is the one that took the punishment that we deserved because of our sins. And Lord, look at our hearts and help us to see if we want to follow you, Lord, and help us to follow you. Help those who are considering if they want to repent and believe that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. Because we have this hope that one day we will be with you forever. In your kingdom, with no pain, no suffering, and no fear of death. And we thank you for that, Lord. And just help us as we continue our journey following your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.